a big welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. So glad you're joining us once again. Alongside Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Wow, another good program today, and this one is a Skype consult. And we started doing this months ago, maybe even last year, where if you have purchased a program from us through Training Peaks, in fact, all of our programs live on Training Peaks, we offer a free 30-minute one-on-one consult. Anything you want to talk about endurance-related or training-related, we offer that free of charge just to help you get started as a little bonus. I know other coaches charge for that. We don't, just kind of the way of us giving back. And today we have an athlete, Cody Wilson, who is preparing for 70.3 Galveston next year. And so Wendy gets on a call with him for about a half hour. And I like these personally, Wendy, because when I'm asking questions of a coach, I'm sure they're like, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times. And they probably have, which means we all have these questions and we continue to ask the questions because we want to hear the answer maybe in a different way so it can actually click in our head. So you talking with Cody today, those questions he asked, his experiences, his curiosities, I know they're going to help other people listening on the podcast today. So I'm looking forward to your one-on-one with Cody.
I totally agree with you about these Skype consultations. It helps me get to know who and what type of people are purchasing our programs, making sure we answer questions. You know, we do offer so much education with video and articles and just YouTube links and stuff that we produced. We include that in our training programs. So we want to make sure we get everyone started on the right track. So that's the reason we started adding these Skype consultations. Cody specifically had a lot of questions about swimming and nutrition, and who doesn't? So again, like you already said, I think a lot of our listeners will learn some things, maybe not learn some things, but just we keep saying the same things that'll just reinforce a little bit about our beliefs and our philosophies with the questions that he had. So anyone out there that wants to take advantage of the Skype consultation, that has purchased our plan, that has not, just contact us, Wendy at T2 Coaching, or you can contact Dave through endurancehour@gmail.com.
Speaking of people who are looking for answers, if you are, you know, an endurance athlete, maybe you're specifically into swim, bike, or run, or strength training, fitness in general, we encourage you to check out the T2 Endurance Club on Facebook. Over 500 members, a group, a closed group, Wendy, that we started some 3 years ago. And it seems like there's not a lot of members, you know, in relation to other private groups. But I feel like 500 is a good core of people. And based on the things that we're talking about on the inside and the sharing that we do, I'm very proud of the people who are here. And tell people more about it and how they can get involved.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's either people that learn about us through Facebook, YouTube, or the podcast. They want to be there. They request to be there. When they request to be there, we ask them 3 questions just to make sure they're a real person and that they're into endurance sports. We ask them what event they're training for, how they heard about us, and if they have a Training Peaks account. So it's pretty simple. And we also have members within the group that have been inviting their friends to join the group. So maybe someone has been invited by a friend and they just don't know it yet. So we like to welcome people on the podcast. I usually welcome people within the group just to get them to know them a little bit more. People share their race reports, their race successes, their race failures. And, you know, other people can kind of, you know, maybe live in the same area. They, you know, get involved at local races because they already kind of known each other within the group. So maybe they'll meet up at a local race. And I think it's just a different community than other triathlon endurance sports Facebook groups, because we do have people within the group that aren't just triathletes, beginners, advanced, experienced, less experienced. It's kind of for everyone.
And people, I love, one of my favorite things to see is when people share their race photos and, you know, maybe a little blurb about their race results. A few weeks back, we had, I think it was Christina Behrens, who did 70.3 North Carolina, has a picture of her going down the finish line, and she bought one of our programs. So she was watching the videos, and she was learning about the educational elements, and she followed the plan. I think not her, but a different athlete would use the same plan twice, which is pretty cool when they're a longtime athlete of ours. But Christina, thanks for sharing that photo. You know, I said people can use programs twice. we have discount codes that people can use on multiple programs. It's a multi-use code. Which one is that?
They can go to endurancehour.com/33% and get that 33% off code. We don't publicly announce it, but usually people who listen to the podcast or subscribe to our newsletter are mostly familiar with how to get that 33% code, and they can share it with someone. Mm-hmm. So endurancehour.com/33%. And you either, again, you could subscribe to our newsletter to get it, or just by listening to the podcast and sharing it with others is great.
And that newsletter is on endurancehour.com. Pretty simple to find. I think it's pretty simple to find. One thing we do post inside the T2 Endurance Club, in addition to photos, we posted that the PDFs are back, at least the PDF for the Swimming Made Easy program, 101 swim workouts for swimmers and triathletes. And people are taking advantage of this. It's only $29. Wendy, this is something you created a couple years ago, taking, you know, something from your vast library of swim workouts. I'm sure, you know, you've got 1,000 more in your head, but you put together over 100 of them. Can you tell people how those are broken down? And I'll tell people how they can find it.
The workout distance ranges from 1,500 meters or yards, depending on the length of the pool. If you swim in a meter pool or a yard pool, up to 5,000. We have skills and drill specific workouts, endurance specific, tempo threshold speed specific, as well as IM, individual medley, non-freestyle types of workouts for people to use. And so you can, you know, use these workouts within a training plan that you're already following. So like if your training plan called for a threshold swim workout and you were kind of bored of the workout you had been doing, you can look at this, you know, the variety of tempo, speed, threshold workouts that we provide and just kind of choose one and, you know, plug it into your training plan. And then we also have, I believe we have 10 technique videos, as well as just a lot of educational content within the Swimming Made Easy program.
Kick on the side drill, thumb drill, fingertip drills, drags, all these video demonstrations that Wendy and I produced, which are also included in the How to Swim Faster in 30 Days program, which has 40 plus videos. This one has a handful as part of this one, just to help you, because there's drills within these 100 workouts. And so this is only $29. It's an electronic product, which means once you buy it, you get it immediately with a download, so you can have it. And some people print it out if they want. Otherwise, you can just have it on your phone as this all these workouts. So if you ever get bored with this, you'll never be bored, because you'll always have something that you can do with your swimming. All right, Wendy, today's special guest Skype consult, Cody Wilson, getting ready for a 70.3. And he's got a lot of questions about swimming and nutrition, you said?
Within the consultation, he came up with more questions, because that usually happens.
Yeah.
We start talking about something and it triggers someone's memory and they come up with more questions.
Here we go. One-on-one with Cody and Wendy.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
So have you had a chance to review the program?
I have a little bit. Like I said, I was looking at a few different ones, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to do their, you know, training piece where they, you know, I got to do everything on my own, or hire a coach.
Uh-huh.
And so I figured I would give it this a shot first. And then, of course, last week I bought your program, and it was I kind of felt flooded with information.
Then, right. Why did you decide on this the couch to half Ironman? Why did you decide on ours?
I saw a video. I don't know what video it was, how it ended up on my screen, but it was you and Dave talking about the couch to the Ironman. I don't know if I Googled it. I have no idea how I got the video on it, and I looked at it, which got me into the Training Peaks, because my brother, who's also does this, mentioned Training Peaks, so that kind of got me to that platform. And then I started searching for those kind of programs.
Okay.
It would probably be the best fit for me.
Nice. Now, you are training for Ironman Galveston, so you have some time. When you first, I just want to get some background. When you first looked at the program, what was overwhelming?
Because I don't consider myself good at any of to these activities, right? The swimming, the biking, or the running. So whenever I had all my plans done at first, I didn't really know how to set it up on the calendar. So it just shot straight into it, like, wake up tomorrow and we're going to assess your swim. And I'm like, well, I'm not good at it. That was easy enough. And I started thinking about it. I was like, maybe I need more help. Maybe I need a one-on-one deal.
Uh-huh.
And so that's whenever I emailed Training Peaks and was like, hey, I think I need some more time to think about this. But it was on a Friday, so he wasn't able to get back to me real quick. So I spent the weekend kind of going through your program and all the PDFs and stuff. And I was like, well, now that I can just, take one bite at a time and get used to this thing, I think I could do it.
Cool.
And then, so I went into Monday thinking, oh man, let's do it. And I went to check my calendar and it was all gone. And I was like, oh, that's right. So I had to buy it again.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that again. So it's good feedback for us on the programs, just because there could be someone else out there who might feel the same way. I mean, the Couch to, all our Couch to programs, Couch to Ironman, 70.3, Olympic, and Sprint Distance, are meant to help people not be so overwhelmed because of the coaching videos we do within the plan. So hopefully you'll find that helpful. And as far as like the swim assessment goes, even though it was a swim test, I mean, what I've already learned from you is, number one, that was overwhelming. Number two, you're not a strong swimmer. Number three, you got to start somewhere. So you do that baseline assessment, whether you do, a 500, a 200, a 1,000, whatever you're able to do. It just gives you, the athlete, a lot of feedback, kind of where your starting point is. So then as you progress through the program and you redo that assessment, you can see how far you've come with your swimming, as well as, again, same thing with the cycling
right.
and the running. So why well, do you want to do a 70.3?
So this all started like 6 months ago. So my brothers, they're a little older than me, and they've been into this kind of stuff for quite some time. And I walked up to them with this bright idea that I wanted to go on a trek somewhere in a different country, right? And they kind of both looked at me and said, no, we want to, why don't you do something with us? And they said, there's a triathlon in Padre. You want to do that? And I was like, well, the whole thing was to do something together. I was like, let's do it. And so I trained by myself to just do a super sprint.
Uh-huh.
And so it got me off the couch, got me running, got me biking a little bit. And then I did it. And then once I did it, I was hooked. And I was like, well, what's the next one? He goes, well, the next one we do is Galveston. And I was like, how long is that? Well, how much time do I have? And he's like, I think it was like 7 months or something like that. And
uh-huh.
I was like, I'll do it. And so here I am.
Oh, that's fantastic. That was 2 weeks ago. Especially since you're doing it with people.
So now my whole family's in it. My two brothers are doing it, and my two sister-in-laws are in it. So.
Right. If you have the support crew, that makes it a lot more fun. To have that support crew. So, being a newbie like yourself, I think it can be very overwhelming not following a plan or having a coach, because if you Google, we're going to get into some of your questions right now. If you Google nutrition for triathletes, you're going to get 1,000 different answers, because that's
such a
very subjective way, eating as a triathlete and what your nutrition plan should be is very subjective to the person. And so one of your questions that you had emailed me about, you're not sure if you're going to be consuming enough calories to fuel your morning workouts. It's good to know, number one, that you are going to be doing morning workouts. Really the best way to learn is trial and error. First you start with, if you've never done morning workouts, if you literally are just starting or restarting again, it's good to always have something on hand, like a Gatorade or some sort of electrolyte with some calories, or maybe some sort of like a Clif Bar or a power bar of some sort on hand
right.
with you. And you'll learn by doing the workout if you're going to need to consume it or not. And if there's going to be a difference between what you eat or not eat if you're getting up and then you're doing your workout within, you know, maybe the first 30 minutes after waking up, or if you wake up and you do your morning workout maybe 90 minutes to 2 hours after you wake up. You know, do you have enough time to consume a meal, because you're not going to be working out for 2 more hours? Or are you just quickly getting up, going out the door for a run, a swim, or a bike? So it's definitely a trial and error thing. But like I said, it's good to start off with having something with you, just in case you do need it. A lot of athletes can go through their morning workouts with water only, and then they consume, you know, a breakfast meal afterwards. And in the way you really kind of learn yourself and what you need is keep it in your training log. So, you know, obviously you have Training Peaks because you have the program loaded in your Training Peaks account. You just start keeping notes in your training log with what you did eat or what you didn't eat and how you felt about it. You know, did you wish you had kept more, or did you wish you did you eat too much and you wish you ate less? And then you kind of get it a little bit more dialed in. That's what I would recommend to start with.
Okay. Yeah, because right now I roll out of bed and I go work out. And then I get back about an hour later. I get ready. I go to work. And then, like, I'm making oatmeal at work.
Yeah. And you may find as the duration and or intensity of the workouts gets longer or harder, you may find that you're going to want to eat a little bit sooner. Like maybe eat when you get home before you get ready for work. Like I said, it's gonna vary. But the fact that you can wake up and go is good. I'd always just make sure you have something just in case you're feeling a little dizzy or a little lightheaded because you did something that was longer or harder than what you're used to.
Right.
I also have included in the training plan, we've included links to previous podcasts that we've done with registered dietitians, as well as nutritional links to articles within the plan that'll help educate you a little bit more on what, you know, our general success has been and our general guidelines. So hopefully it'll be helpful as you get more into the program. And then again, same thing with race day nutrition. We have some links to articles that we or podcasts that we go a little bit more in depth about race day nutrition. You obviously need it maybe it's not obvious, but it's obvious to me. You do need it for 70.3. You're going to be out there, you know, 5, 6, right, maybe 7 hours. So you want to start, again, as the workouts get longer on the weekends, you're going to want to start practicing. I always recommend if you can practice with the nutrition that's offered on the course. It's probably going to be, usually from previous years, it's Gatorade water. Cliff Bar has been the sponsor in the past. Interesting enough that Vega, they're a plant-based nutritional company. They were the sponsor of the Ironman World Championship this past weekend. So they may come on board and sponsor all World Triathlon Corporation 70.3 and 140.6 events. I'm not quite sure how that's going to go. But you want to make sure you look at the Ironman 70.3 Texas website and you know what's going to be offered on the course and start practicing it within your training. So your race is in April, probably by, you know, middle of January, at the latest February, start practicing with the product that's offered on the course. Because if it works for you and your digestive system and it doesn't cause any aches or pains or bloating or illness, nausea, then it's convenient because it's on the course, so you don't have to worry about getting extra hydration bottles or carrying product on your own. On top of that, I also recommend having, you know, a plan B, because I know in previous years myself, especially for the longer races, I've trained with a nutritional product. And then by the time I got to the race, I was already sick of it and I didn't want it. So I would, you know, race day, you don't want to do is try anything new. For a few of my races in the past, I'd always be trying something new race day, especially nutrition wise, because I'm just like, I just don't want to consume any more of the product I've been training with.
Makes sense.
What else about nutrition? Any other specifics about nutrition?
No, really. Like I'm very, like whenever I get on something that works, like I never veer from it. Like whenever I started doing the training, and running and stuff to get ready for South Padre, I just went with like a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, and then I do a bag of vegetables and a grilled chicken breast for lunch and in dinner. And literally, that's all I eat now.
Oh, that's healthy. So, that's like, good.
Yeah, so whenever I find something that works, it's good. That's why my question was more on, am I consuming enough calories to fuel my workouts? Because I know I did an 8-mile run last weekend, and I had eaten like an hour beforehand, and I just felt like I had so much more energy during that run that it made me question my workouts in the morning, because I was like, I don't feel that good in the morning whenever I'm only doing 4 to 5 miles. So do I not have enough fuel in my body for doing it, because I know I can do it.
Right. So it's just, again, based on that information, I would try something, you know, your next morning run, you know, Monday morning, Friday morning, have something light, maybe a banana, half a banana, something you enjoy, something you like to eat, or maybe have your oatmeal prepared and have a couple bites of the oatmeal that you're already going to eat before you go out the door and see how you feel. And again, the best way to know is kind of log how you're feeling and what you ate and see if it's working for you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Again, something else I want to add, when it comes to like energy products, like the bars or the gels, you know, only consume that stuff, you know, before, during, or immediately after. I think sometimes people get hung up on surviving off the bars throughout their day because it's quick and easy. But again, even something as healthy like a Clif Bar or a Lara Bar that's a little bit more natural product, it's still a processed food. So it's best to only consume those energy products if you need it right beforehand, during, or right afterwards. And as you get into the longer training, you're probably going to want something prepared to eat immediately after to help with recovery and refueling your muscle glycogen stores, so you can recover better and you're going to be better prepared for the next workout.
Okay.
So let's move on to swimming. So a lot of triathletes aren't the strongest swimmers. I know that. First, I want to make sure you know, and I think we have it within the plan, that you can send me a swim video for analysis, and instructions should be in the plan, but I can email you the instructions on how to do that. That's the best way to start. And then I can give you my swim analysis assessment based on your swim technique and what your strengths and limiters are. Maybe it's breathing, body balance, rotation, kick, or the actual three main phases of the stroke: recovery, hand entry, or underwater pull. So that's the best way to start, since you have other siblings, friends doing the race. Maybe you guys could, you know, go to the pool together and video each other. I could do a video analysis on all of you. That would be fine. We really enjoy doing stuff like that. So I do a voice analysis. I send it to Dave, and then he edits my voice over your video. And then we send you a link to your video, as well as screenshots and content, written content about what we suggest you work on first. Because swimming's definitely... there's a process to what
that was one of my deals, because I saw all y'all's videos on the swimming, and I was like, man, there's just so much information here. So trying to take notes and then go to the pool and then try to do it all at once, and I'd be like, you know, if you concentrate on breathing, then you know, the balance is off. And
right, right.
On balance and the breathing is off. And
you're learning a lot. You're exactly right. When you work on more than one thing at a time, if you try to do it all at once, you're not going to do any of it right. So it has to start with breathing. If you know you're struggling with breathing, if you read the article, watched a video, and you're like, yep, that's me, work on breathing until it becomes a no-brainer, something that you don't have to think about anymore, that you have it, you're comfortable with it, and you can move on. And then, you know, along with breathing, you'll probably still be working on body balance, because a lot of the drills I recommend for body balance also help you with breathing. But breathing has to come first. And in order to work on swim technique, you have to be comfortable in the water, comfortable with breathing, because it makes everything else so much easier. For people who struggle with comfort and breathing in the water, and they jump into it and they start to work on mechanics without really being comfortable with their breathing, then they get frustrated and it takes them a lot longer to progress in the water. So a swim video sounds like the best bet.
Yeah, I'll get that to you.
And then same with running. You can send me a run video for analysis. Best to have you run on the treadmill, because people who have sent me run videos of them running away from the camera, I don't see a lot of
right?
them. So if you can get someone to video you on the treadmill, it's a better way for me to see you front view, side view, and behind view. And then I could take a look at your foot strike, your cadence, and your posture and form on the treadmills works well.
Okay.
Now, something you also mentioned about the Swim Faster in 30 Day program and not wanting to do two programs at once, that's pretty smart. If you, something I would recommend in that situation is that the best part about the Swim Faster program is not necessarily just the workouts I give you. The 30 day plan is good, especially if that's all you're doing, because it's a 5 day a week swim program. But within that video or within that program, you have 42 videos that Dave and I produced with above water, underwater, swim technique, things, the most common things that people do wrong, how to do things correctly. So you just have access to that video library. And also the workouts, you can even supplement some of the workouts within our Swim Faster 30-Day program. You can supplement the workouts in the Couch to 70.3 swim plan. So then you just have more workouts that maybe make more sense to you.
Yeah, I might do that, because I feel like if I had all the information that I knew that was all condensed in like one area that I could just look at whenever I thought I had questions, rather than scouring the internet or watching, you know, the 50 videos of you watching other people swim.
Yeah.
So that would probably be the best bet for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we try to make these our programs as simple, you know, simple and educational, right? That we become your source of information, and the people you trust, because it's working for you, instead of, well, my brother told me this, my friend told me this, my parents told me this, I don't know what to do. Because,
right,
you know, you ask anyone a question about triathlon, whether they're an athlete or non-athlete, it could just get overwhelming by so many people's answers. And if you went to someone locally to help you with your swimming, which is also a good option, just make sure someone else who's giving you swim advice, it could be the same advice I'm giving you in a different way. They may say something and mean the same thing I'm saying, but they just say it in a different way that you may or may not understand it more or less.
Right.
So any more questions about swimming?
Not about swimming. That's just one thing that I'm just going to have to get in the pool and start going after. Because I think once I start getting more time in it, the more I settle down. Because it's not like I don't know how to swim. I grew up in the water. But as far as, you know, this, for this purpose and laps and, you know, doing that kind of stuff, I think I just got to get comfortable. Once I get comfortable, then I can start retaining a lot more of the information, or the information that I'm already retaining is actually going to show up.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So you mentioned that, and I like this, you signed up for the Houston Half Marathon in February and a 10K next Saturday, which is great, because having these, you know, events within the overall plan is going to help keep you on track, help keep you motivated. And again, it's just kind of baseline, you know, the 10K next Saturday will be a good, that's like your run test, that could be used as your run test. You'll learn, number one, what your threshold pace will be, assuming it's a strong, good race effort. You'll get like your threshold run pace. You can input that pace into Training Peaks, and it can help you set your running zones. You'll learn how to about pacing. Did you go out too fast? Did you die, where you slog in the last mile or two? That usually happens if you haven't been racing in a while. Those 10Ks can be really hard because you're excited, you go into it, you start off too fast, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. So a lot of mental and physical data comes out of these baseline smaller events, these B and C events leading up to the A race.
Yeah, I'm excited. Actually, so kind of want to see where my performance lies and what to do and all that stuff, because I like having those little goals.
Yeah.
Having the big goal with all the little goals.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really
and then
important.
Having company along the way, so.
And then you know, based on your assessment, you'll kind of know, again, where your strengths and weaknesses are with running, and you can focus on them within the plan.
Good to go.
What else? Anything come to mind since we've been talking?
The only other, like, as far as, like, the bike training, because I'm not too, like, you know, I'm not too comfortable on the roads, right? So mm-hmm. I'm looking for, you know, what's a good trainer? Is Zwift the way to go as far as when training goes?
I think like, so. I think even for people who have the luxury of living in a warmer climate and they can train outside, I think with the increase in what we hear and what we learn about bike car incidents, more and more people are riding inside and they are using the smart trainer, like a Zwift Wahoo kicker. And that seems to be the most popular. I still have a CompuTrainer. My CompuTrainer's, I think, like 15 years old, and they don't make CompuTrainers anymore. But CompuTrainer, from what I know, was the first like smart trainer without being called a smart trainer. There are a couple more. I think the name Tax is one of them. T-A-C-K maybe. I can't remember. We've actually discussed it in the T2 Endurance Facebook group about what other trainers people have. Most athletes are going to be doing the Zwift. And again, it is an investment, but I think it's a good investment for longevity in the sport. I think you'll enjoy indoor training more than if you just had a regular trainer that wasn't a smart trainer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because, I mean, we have, you know, so I live in an apartment. So our apartment has spin bikes. And then I just joined the Y, and of course they have their bikes and stuff. But to have something that was sitting in my living room that was dedicated for that purpose only, I know I would use it more. And the fact that I would have feedback right then telling me that I'm using it correctly.
Yeah.
Because right now if I go to the apartment, I sit on the spin bike and I go for it. And like I'm just pedaling, you know, either, you know. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just
right. If you were to use an apartment bike or a bike at the Y, you know, if you had like a heart rate monitor, the heart rate monitor can help you manage intensities. It can help you learn your rate of perceived effort. But it's not your own bike. It doesn't fit.
Yeah,
I do train with.
Right. I do use a heart rate monitor on everything. Then.
Yeah. Good. So. Good. But there's nothing like to me having your bike set up on your trainer with it varying terrain and you can follow other riders and ride with other people. They also have bikes. They also have Pelotons. I know Dave owns a Peloton and he's talked about it a lot on the podcast. But it's the same idea. Also, if you had, like, I know the club Lifetime that I go to and work out at has what's called Stages spin bikes. Those are actually very good. I'm enjoying, you know, when I go to the club, sometimes just getting out of my house and going on those spin bikes. They're actually pretty good spin bikes. I like them. I feel like they fit me. I've got my fit dialed in. They have a power unit. And it's just sometimes fun to go to the health club and watch TV while I ride
my
bike.
Well, yeah, of course. And people watch.
Yeah, totally. I'm a people watcher.
I mean, that's the best part. That's what the membership's for.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, my next question is, so I know I've got many months before, you know, I figure out all my equipment, but going into this new, would you use a road bike or a tri bike during it as a first one just trying to finish?
Good question. So based on the course, being a, you know, flatter type of course with you're going to deal with some wind, a tri bike, meaning, you know, a bike set up to fit you with aero bars, you can achieve that same result on a road bike. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a tri geometry bike. I've been doing the sport for 28 years. I rode a road bike for 16 years. I won Kona on a road bike that was set up with aero bars. My body is very comfortable in a road position because that's what I've used for so long. I got my tri bike in 2009, and I struggled with dialing in a tri bike fit. Of course, my first tri bike I got, I loved it. It was a new bike. It was carbon. It was fancy. It was amazing. But I struggled on it because it didn't fit me. And then I ended up getting, a year later, I got on Team Timex, which, so then I had to use their sponsored bike, which their Arbea, actually, I think their Arbea worked out okay for me. I just screwed up because I had the wrong crank length for me, and it screwed up my left leg. And then, you know, I've had other tri bikes that finally my Trek, even though I've talked a lot on the podcast, I want a new bike. My Trek Speed Concept actually fits me really well, but I've had a multiple fits within my Speed Concept to finally get me where I was comfortable, didn't have left hip or hamstring pain, and it's working out to my advantage, which is one reason I don't really want to switch bikes, because I finally have a bike that fits me. I just want a new bike because who wouldn't want a new bike? So you can get, you know, it just depends. Do you think you're going to do the sport for a long time, or do you think you're going to be one and done, or do you think you're going to be done with 170.3 and then you're going to focus on shorter races? You can do it on either a tri bike or a road bike. I just think for multiple usage, a pro to getting a road bike is if you're going to do any group riding or group, you know, like charity rides where you know, maybe ride a century and the money for the entry fee goes to a local charity, stuff like that, you're going to be better off on a road bike. People don't like, unless it's a tri-specific group ride, if you go to your local cyclist group ride, they don't like triathletes showing up on their tri bikes. It's just safe. It's not safe to be riding a tri bike and a Peloton in aero position. So, and a lot of it is cost. You know, what do you know your budget for a bike? That will help determine what is best tri or road, carbon or steel or titanium. You know, the cost of a bike, the carbon bikes are going to be more expensive than a steel bike. The components on the bike actually is really what drives the cost up or down, is not always just the frame material, but the components that you decide to get on your bike.
Okay. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
You know, maybe you end up getting the road bike. You're really enjoying it. You're having fun. And then you're finding out that it is windy. It is a flatter course. You want to do the tri bike. Maybe you borrow a tri bike from someone the first race. See if you like that style. And then you invest in a tri bike. It's just so dependent on, again, what the goal is and other factors that I already mentioned.
Yeah, it's just good to get all the information. I mean, I've got enough time to where I can, you know, really think about what to do. But I think for me, it's probably going to be a road bike, so I can do a lot more stuff around here, keep myself active in the sport, and then maybe throw some aero bars on it during the Ironman.
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe. I don't need one of these things that are, you know, that weigh like 4 ounces or 18 grand. Right. You know, I'm not there yet. I need to start completing stuff before, you know, I get all the goodies. But I think that's about it. I mean, like I said in my email, I think most of my questions will come after like 2 weeks of doing things. Because right now it's just all foreshadowing, basically.
Right.
Until I really get into the program.
Yeah, if something comes up, just shoot me an email. If there's a terminology issue, like what is this, you know, what does CD mean? That won't cool down. But like if there's a terminology issue or if just something's unclear about a detail, just shoot me an email and I can help clarify it for you.
No, sure will. I'm excited. I can't wait to get this thing going.
Good. When do you officially start it?
So Monday's the rest day, so it'd be Tuesday.
Okay, good. Next week.
Yeah, so I finally figured out on training weeks that I can do the end date of the course to be on the Ironman day, which is April 5th.
Right. Okay, I was just going to say that. Load the program to end on.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I didn't do whenever I first bought the program from you, and it automatically updated my deal because I didn't understand what to do. And then it had me ending 2 weeks before the race, and then I was start, and then my rest day was on Thursday when you clearly said your rest days were on Mondays. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I know. It's all messed up. Yeah.
So, but now that when I took a little bit of time, kind of clicked through the deal, figured out how to use it, it makes it so much more easy. And then plus I can link my calendars. And so now, you know, my alarm wakes up with what I have to do in the morning. And it's pretty neat.
Good. Sounds like you're getting dialed in.
Yeah. So that's it for me. I have no more questions unless you have questions for me.
I don't know. I think you answered all my questions. Enjoy the training process. I wish you the best success through the whole journey. And like I said, if you have any questions pop up about the plan, just shoot me an email.
Sure will. Thank you so much.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Thanks again, Cody, for joining me on, we actually did this interview on the phone. I appreciate it. For anyone else out there, if you have purchased a training plan in the most recent past or actually a couple years ago and you want to take advantage of the Skype consultation, you can get a hold of me by going to my website, T2 Coaching, press the contact button, or you can email me, Wendy at T2Coaching.com, and we'll definitely get a time and a day scheduled for you.
So a few months left in the calendar year for triathlons under the WTC umbrella. Upcoming this week is Ironman Florida, November 2nd. Always a fast race. Kind of fingers crossed if the swim is going to hold true. Sometimes they can be too choppy. Then you also have 70.3 Los Cabos, November 3rd. That's always kind of a fun one. If you're looking to cherry pick any slots, people are already probably done with their season. We talked about that in the past of being strategic with your race season if you want to try to get something. And then November 3rd also, 70.3 Turkey, which Wendy has done in the past with her team, the SASFIT team. Is that right? Over in Turkey? So yep. Of those races or maybe yep. Something else that I haven't mentioned this coming weekend, what you have athletes who are racing?
I did coach two athletes who are racing Ironman Florida. It'll be their first Ironman. So that's always really exciting. To be with them on their journey, especially during the final weeks of their training with all the nervous energy of the unknown. You never really know how prepared you are until you cross the finish. So I'm really excited to follow them and get their results. And then this year, I am not going to Turkey. I have been going the past few years. Won't be attending this year. So I'm looking forward to getting back there, hopefully next April. And I think Los Cabos would be a great race to do.
What advice do you give athletes for Florida? Because on the surface, it seems like, oh, this is an easy peasy race. I mean, besides the ocean swim, it's going to be a flat bike and a flat run, and people are probably going to have a PR. It's going to be warm, but it's flat. What questions are they having for you? What do you tell them about their approach to being in the aero bars for 5, 6, 7 hours at a time?
Well, I think like any training plan, train on the terrain that you're going to race on. So if you're going to be racing on a flat course like Florida and you don't have access to a large distance, long distance on flat surfaces where you can stay aero for that long, I would recommend you do a 5-6 hour ride indoors in the aero bars just to get your body comfortable in that position, shoulders back. It is inside, but you won't have the ups and downs of the hilly terrain if that's happened to be what kind of terrain you live in. Just like for someone who lived in a flat area who was going to race on a hilly course, you know, they have to come up with some sort of trainer ride simulation to try to simulate those hills and get that different type of muscular endurance that they're from climbing versus being on the flat roads. In previous years, Panama City was canceled a year or two ago. I think it was only a year ago. They were canceled due to a hurricane. So it's really good to see that the race has come back 1 year later. But it's definitely something if you're planning a East Coast race, whether it's Carolina, Florida, somewhere that's going to be taking place in ocean, it definitely is hurricane season. So you have to, you know, Maryland, you have to be aware that have a backup plan in case the race and or the swim is canceled due to weather conditions.
Yeah, there's a local athlete here. I think it was Singapore or China a few weeks ago where the swim was canceled. And you know, it's a bummer when you go over there and you hope to be able to showcase all your training, but then you're limited to just two events. I mean, it depends on what your strengths are, but yeah, be prepared for not racing everything. And if you do, then you're prepared, then you're good to go. But yeah, it's always interesting when I never think, you know, I don't have to worry about it here on the West Coast of hurricane season impacting our races, but that's the reality on the East Coast. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Endurance Hour podcast. Thank you so much for listening this week, and thank you for Cody taking the time to do our Skype consult and letting us share your questions and feedback with our audience. And good luck to the athletes racing Ironman Florida, Los Cabos. There's also the Ironman 70.3 South American Championship on the 3rd, 70.3 Turkey. There's the NUSA Triathlon Multisport Festival on the 3rd, so it's kind of a big weekend. And we'll get back to you next week and see if we have any feedback from our athletes and your results. Hey, if you want to leave us a voicemail, always do so by going to speakpipe.com/endurancehour. So give us a race report, a question there. You can record it from your phone or laptop, desktop, and we will share it on the program. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Have a great week of racing, training, or recovery. Hope to have you back here next time. Adios. Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young. Come, baby. There's my fever lost, but so what I'm begging you save a little soul. Come, baby. Last night they loved you, opening doors and pulling some strings. Walk luck and you looked in time. Never looked back, walked tall at five.